All right, next state is Utah. Utah is represented by Jen and Sophia. Jen and Sophia. Come on up, guys. How are you doing? You've been on my show as well. Great, I had to stand up. I couldn't feel my legs. All right. All right, you guys have been on my show as well.
Yes, we've missed you.
Thank you. Good to be missed. So we're going to get to your state of Utah here. Oh, Utah fraud. Wow.
Imagine that.
Yeah. All right. Do you have a video? Is this a video?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, they're going to play it back there.
Freedom is the natural condition in which God intended man to live. That was a quote by Abraham Lincoln. My name is Steve Ace, and I ran for House Seat 41. We canvassed all neighborhoods twice. We outspent our opponent who sat in his basement, and the algorithms came out at the end of the election. They looked very similar to other American first candidates that lost. There's a problem with that.
The razor thin race, but because it's under 0.25%, you can have a recount by state statute. This race was 7 votes, so it's like 0.03% or something like that. So I asked for a recount, but I asked for a hand recount. The entire campaign season, I learned that 85 to 90% of the people out there don't trust the process. They have big questions about the accuracy of the machines, and whether they're accurate or not is kind of irrelevant. It's if the public doesn't believe it, you have a massive amount of public distrust. Any type of leadership to motivate and inspire and encourage people and help them feel good about the election process, they don't care. So they're either ignorant to what's going on or they're complicit in it.
The reason for me to run was that I was challenging the incumbent county commissioner, but prior to being the county commissioner, she was our county clerk. And knowing that, and knowing how people felt about elections, I knew that she was the architect of elections in Utah County. As a commissioner in that role, I would not be perpetuating that process. I would be challenging it, and I'd be very vocal about it. And I was willing to step in as a commissioner and take that role. Convenience should not be our first consideration with our vote. And until better options are available, we should go back to in-person voting, paper ballots with ID, and I'll add, in our precinct. How I received at convention was incongruent with the primary results. We need to go back to a one day of voting, not a month of voting. We need to go back to voting in person with an ID, even in our precinct, staying within our precinct, and that way we're voting with our neighbors and people that we know. And the poll workers are people that we know. That's what I see would be a great advantage in helping, you know, right the ship as it comes to election integrity.
If the role of the Board of Canvassers is just to rubber stamp and to get a summary, then is that really what we're looking for? In this issue and at this time, there is only one vote that we can cast, and it's yes. That's it. There's no other options, because if we vote no, they certified another route anyway. Why are we going through it? We want our elected officials to be a part of a check and a balance, and we kind of look at the board of as canvassers as part of that check and balance. But is it really functioning as a check and balance if that's the vote that we get? Is we get a vote yes, and that's it. We got an hour or two. you know, to look at some of this stuff on a superficial level. I know the Lieutenant Governor's office with 1% comes through and takes a peek at it and says, here's the information on a summary basis that you sent to us. I'm going to pick this one, and this one. You go back and give me a spot check with it. I personally think that's inadequate. I think that that's really superficial, and I think it doesn't give us it doesn't give us the level of scrutiny that an election needs to have.
We have major problems here with Rhino. I think we get the Rhino Capital of the World designation. I realized very soon that Lieutenant Governor and Governor's office were not being fair. They have denied records, cast vote records. They've threatened suit on county clerks that provide those records. And we have two young ladies here that have led that fight. And I'm here to introduce Sophie Anderson and Jen Orton, the two red pills.
Really well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve Aist in the audience. We love it.
Yes.
Yeah, Utah's got a lot of problems. And Sophie, this is Sophie, I am Jen. The media calls us two red pills. The lieutenant governor calls us self-appointed, uncertified, unelected, untrained individuals who are causing a constitutional crisis. The legislature has called
it. Wait a minute. You two gals are causing a constitutional crisis in the state of Utah?
They caused it. We're just exposing it.
Right.
Right, right. The legislature has called us vexatious requesters.
Wow, that's dirty.
They've even put out a bill with that wording. So it's legit.
Try to stop it. But if you ask us, we just call ourselves two moms who despise corruption and who knew the truth before it was called a conspiracy.
Wow.
Yes, and they are domestic terrorists also. We do have a long resume of adjectives and
yes,
job titles we've accumulated in the last year. But Utah has a lot of problems. And if we can start with this one.
So in one of our counties, I accumulated many affidavits from our primary election that we just had in June. And this particular county has a county clerk who serves on the EAC, on the board of the EAC, also serves on the board of CTCL.
He's an advisor.
Oh, the Center for Tech and Life, the one that's funded by Zuckerberg.
Yes.
And so it's not super surprising to us that we received many affidavits from people across Utah while they were watching and they were poll watching at this county that they noticed even before any ballots were being tabulated, there was already a 9,000 to 3,000 preload into the machines. So we're concerned about that.
Which, interestingly enough, is the same proportion that he won the race by in the end.
Hmm.
You gotta love the machines, right?
Yeah.
He ran his own election.
We also have a mobile shredding truck that pulled up next to the ballot boxes on election day. And when Steve asked the mayor about it, he said, I don't understand the issue. What's the problem with this?
Yes. And also, if you follow Jen and I at all, you know that we are very interested in public records. We've asked for tabulator tapes, ballot images, backup project databases, and CVRs for every 29 of our counties. Anyway, we want that data very much, but even the data that we have not requested, just the data that the county puts out to the public, It's all wrong. The numbers do not add up. Many of our counties have more than 100% voter turnout.
If you guys have probably heard of Senator Mike Lee,
yes,
on his election in the primary, we had many reports that the votes were switching from Mike Lee to his Democrat posing as a Rhino competitor, Becky Edwards. We blew it up on social media. The lieutenant governor was forced to investigate and had to admit, sure enough, the machines were switching the votes.
Wow.
So what's interesting about Utah is that we have a lieutenant governor. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal. We don't have a secretary of state. It is horribly problematic. We are the only mainland state that has this issue. The reason it's a problem is because the governor and the lieutenant governor run on the same ticket. And the lieutenant governor runs the elections. And, you know, they all just seem to keep winning, like, time after time after time. I mean, it's really lucky.
It's miraculous.
Yeah. I put it all the way through the appeals process and showed, this was a year ago, by the way, last August I requested this. We were able to get the illegal rates flipped eventually. And in state records committee, I was given access to all of those emails about the machines for free because of the broadcast we do. Salt Lake County turned around and has sued me to prevent me from getting the access. A year later, we're still in court. And it's crazy that a government could spend a year fighting a citizen for emails about the machines. And it's not just them fighting us. I have a letter from ESNS's lawyer that was written specifically in response to one of my public records requests for a copy of the backup copy of the database for the elections. Now, this is the same letter that got me in some other trouble, but the ESNS's lawyer actually admits we can't give this information. It's proprietary. I'm going to read it to you just for a second. It basically says that the materials should be protected from disclosure to Ms. Orton because they contain sensitive information that, if publicized, could provide a roadmap to bad actors. Well, I'm sorry, the bad actors are already on the scene. And the disclosure of the response could create a security risk for ESNS. I'm sorry, ESNS is a security risk. And to the county. So pursuant to the Department of Homeland Security, they have designated election systems as part of the United States critical infrastructure, and the disclosure to me of this information of a cast vote record or a database would create a security risk, and basically they're off the hook. This is ESNS's lawyer responding to my public records request. It's insane at this point.
And then your next box is legislation?
Yeah. Well, actually, if we could just go to our second box, that would be great.
Yeah. So what happened when I requested this copy of these election data? Sophie mentioned we had done it for the whole state. 2 days later, the very night I requested, I have proof of text messages from the lieutenant governor giving out my private information to a reporter to do a hit piece on me. Within 48 hours, I had men on my porch posing as pest control, asking my neighbors when I'm home, staying on my property, hanging out at my internet box. I was hacked. I had a tracker put on my car. We were surveilled at restaurants. And you know what? We're still here. Absolutely.
And who do you think it was?
You know, the more I think about it, I mean, it could be the FBI because a lot of the responses, including the one of the ESNS letter, they were copying the FBI and all the sheriffs on anytime I communicate with the counties, that is my response now. I do think it could be an InfoSec guy as well, based upon the lieutenant governor's text messages. I don't know.
What's that last one?
InfoSec. The reporter said, I'm going to sic the InfoSec guy on this, because the quote was, how the hell does she know what to ask for? They were scared, and the lieutenant governor writes back and says, we think she has it illegally. And she's trying to find an excuse to say. Well, this is the same lieutenant governor who has said, she's scared, we are going to overturn the gubernatorial election. What are you afraid of? You ran your own election, and you're hiding this data from us at this level, right?
Right.
And we have some reason to believe that our lieutenant governor and our former lieutenant governor, who is now our governor, because we've got this pattern of corruption in how our elections are run, that there is a very good chance that most of the machines that are running our elections in Utah were never certified, or at least they were not certified correctly. Mm. So Jen and I's point is, none of this would be happening without machines. None
exactly.
of it. It's the power of the machines that has completely corrupted and stolen our elections.
In 1998, Salt Lake was an early adopter of the machines. We have proof of 1,413 votes that ran through the machines that were never counted. When it was recounted later and it was contested, it flipped the entire election. The power of the machines. And you know what? As much as we all love Tina Peters, she is an absolute hero, isn't she? Utah, can you flip the slide? Mm-hmm. Utah has its own Tina Peters in 2006. This gentleman, who is now 80 years old, is somebody, I'm going to get teary, that I respect absolutely. In 2006, he's from Emory County, Utah, his name is Bruce Funk. He found vote flipping software could be added or activated by using just a date. It could, if they reset the clock to the real date, it wiped out the log of all the changes. The vote flipping software removed itself, and if they put a new operating system on the machines, there was no record of it. He found records of the machines having physical issues like plugs falling out of sockets, the cases coming out. He said that there was even an unmarked button that somebody coming in could reset for itself. He said that the bootloader seemed to enable a malicious person to compromise the equipment. And again, this is in 2006. And do you know what the lieutenant governor's office said? Yeah, and? This is Utah. So look at this data really quickly. In between the Republican swing of states, the entire country is going red, except for the state of Utah. You can't tell from this, but the entire state is blue, and not just blue, but big blue. And this comes from Governor Cox now, Governor Cox, who was originally selected, never elected. He was appointed to lieutenant governor. During his reign of terror in that office, we had 210 election bills, all of which went the wrong direction for the people. And suddenly we have data reporting our state is turning blue. They're blaming it on the Californians, but you know what? Every Californian we've ever met that's moved there, including us, I'm a California transplant, we left California because of the liberalism. It is the machines that are being manipulated right here, right there, that is allowing them to turn our state purple and blue. Go ahead.
Yeah. We'll have two minutes. If any of you are familiar with this, there's a type of illicit voter fraud that's very popular that seems to be used quite a bit. They will switch in-person votes to absentee within a county. And so, as you can see, what's fascinating to us when we're looking at these numbers is at the very same time in time, 3:29 a.m. in two different counties, three different counties, all of these votes are switched from in-person to absentee. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but like I said before, this is a very popular way to manipulate our elections, and we have it in real time as it's being done.
We'd like to thank the Lone Raccoon for this data, by the way. Another thing unique to Utah, everybody knows voter rolls, right? You've got the regular voter rolls and then the private voter rolls. Well, Utah is very creative with how to ruin an election. We have created a new third category called the withheld category. It's exactly what it sounds. You'll never see it.
And it's intentional.
And 18% of our entire state is supposedly in this withheld category, which means that they are domestic abuse survivors or policemen. We live there. There's not that many policemen, and there's not that much domestic abuse. I call it a slush fund for voter rolls, but nobody is able to get access to this. And when you look at the data here, what you'll find is that we actually use the actual registration of voters. We would require a 100% turnout in our third biggest county. It is reporting as a 103% turnout of the withheld voters in Utah County, which is our second biggest, where Provo is, and Salt Lake County has 117%. That's really impressive. 117%, 100% of everybody is showing up plus some of a category that nobody, including legislators, are ever allowed to look at.
Go ahead.
And by the way, this is coming from a state. We are the only state, Republican state, who had a gubernatorial election in 2020 where our governor outperformed Trump by 53,614 votes. But we have spent the last year looking for anybody who voted for Cox. We found 14, 12 of which have since repented. Next slide, we're almost done.
Okay. So this is the beautiful, perfect algorithm that tomorrow the Lone Raccoon, Jeff O'Donnell, will go into great detail over. He has coined it the fingerprint of fraud. So this should not look like this, okay? That's all we can say. It should be perfectly horizontal. The reason this algorithm is so important is because we went to universal mail-in ballot. We're the only, like Jen was saying, we're the only red state, conservative state. I mean, it's so horrifying. I have trouble talking about it. We went universal mail-in ballots, okay? And we know why we did that, because they needed to steal the election from us, right? But anyway, this should not look like this. And tomorrow, Jeff will talk about it more, but we're not proud that we're the perfect example of how this should not look.
And
but
this matches every other state, but ours is a more perfect algorithm because of the mail-in balloting. That shows you the power of mail-in balloting and the machines on the people. So we are so grateful for all of our team. All of our team that's here and everybody who's helping wake this up. We have a big problem in Utah. We are the number two corrupt, and this is a legitimate study, corrupt state in the union, and we're working really hard to be number one.
And can I just say, we are so incredibly grateful for Mike Lindell, a true patriot, someone with such a pure heart, and we are so grateful for him.
Thank you.
I've never met someone so pure-hearted and charitable. We're so appreciative. Our country should be so grateful for him.
Yes.
And Draza and Jeff O'Donnell for their incredible work on data analyzing, and David Clements as well. We're just so grateful for these people who have stood up and just helped us take back our country, because we're losing it. If we lose this, we've lost it.
Jen and Sophie, thank you guys, representing Utah.